When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, of course, following the podcast and our YouTube feed, which we're back on today. Tucker Bagley and I, he'll jump on in a few minutes as we go through what we do every week. And now we're less than a week away to the NFL draft, a little mock draft mania. So we pick out a different mock draft from somewhere on the internet. There's millions. It feels like dozens of new ones every day we see. And we pick one out and we discuss what the Eagles are doing. Now we're getting closer and closer. Next week, Tucker and I, maybe we'll go back and forth with like our own mock draft to figure out what the Eagles do at 22. So very excited for what's going on and just an exciting time right now in Philadelphia sports. Sixers, Knicks tomorrow, game one. And of course, the Phillies off a sweep of the Rockies welcome in a team that's even worse than the Rockies, the Chicago White Sox. So a lot of good stuff going on. But today, we're over at NFL.com for this mock draft. Dan Parr. I don't know who Dan Parr is, but he writes for NFL.com, and he's got an interesting mock draft up. So let's talk about it. Number one overall, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. There's no drama. There's no suspense. The NFL draft next Thursday starts with the second pick. The first pick is Caleb Williams. Number two, and it's kind of interesting following the odds on this because about a week, two ago, the odds had been very, very clear that Jaden Daniels was the favorite to go number two. Those are coming back right now, and it's almost even between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. We'll see what happens in this draft, in this mock. Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of LSU, goes to Washington at number two. Number three, the Patriots stay there and select Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. I think three is a prime trade spot when this draft starts, as is four. Arizona stays with the pick in this draft. It selects Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. Number five, this is the trade up. The Vikings trade up with Jim Harbaugh to get Jim Harbaugh's college quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. So the Vikings land McCarthy at number five in a trade with the Los Angeles Chargers. Just going through the top 10 and some interesting picks as we get towards the Eagles at 22. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, goes to Giants at number six. Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, ends up at seven with the Titans. Dallas Turner, edge rusher, goes eight to the Atlanta Falcons. Chicago Bears, Romeo Odunze, wide receiver, Washington, to pair with Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and what they traded for in Keenan Allen. The Bears are going to be a fascinating watch next year. Are they going to pop in his first year, Caleb Williams? Are they going to be, you know, close to level as Detroit and Green Bay? I don't know, but they're very interesting. And that division, if the Vikings trade up for a quarterback, whoever it is, McCarthy or May, and the Bears obviously are going to draft, you know, Caleb Williams and maybe draft a star receiver along with Jordan Love, along with what the Lions have built, that division is must watch. Number 10 in this draft, the Jets select Brock Bowers. All right, let's move down here. We got a quarterback at 13. Michael Penix sneaks into the first round with the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, as we move through this, I see some names here that we've seen mock to the Eagles a lot. Terrion Arnold goes 15 to the Indianapolis Colts. J.C. Latham, the tackle, goes to the New Orleans Saints at 14. Quinyon Mitchell goes 12 to the Denver Broncos. So all players that have been connected at some point in this process to the Philadelphia Eagles. Fatuano, the offensive lineman from Washington, goes 16 to the Seahawks. So these are all guys that obviously, you know, we think maybe the Eagles would have taken if they were there at 22. Mims, the offensive tackle of Georgia, goes 18 to Cincinnati. Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle, goes 19 to the Los Angeles Rams. Graham Barton, who we talked about a couple weeks ago on Mock Draft Mania, goes 20 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, let's get towards the Eagles portion of the draft. At 21, the Miami Dolphins select Jared Verse, pass rusher, Florida State. That puts the Eagles on the board at number 22. And in the latest NFL.com mock draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select UCLA pass rusher Leiatu Latu, who has an awesome name and a fascinating story. So this is a kid, you know, 4 years ago, gets to the University of Washington, barely gets on the field, and then he misses two straight seasons because he was not medically cleared by Washington doctors because of a neck injury. He transfers to UCLA with Chip Kelly, obviously not there anymore. He's the Ohio State offensive coordinator, but Chip was there. Chip brings him in, and the guy's as good and productive as any edge rusher in college football the last 2 years. You know, once in a while, I'll go to the NFL.com prospect page, and they'll give you info on the player, you know, it's height, weight. This kid's 6'5". He's got 32.5-inch arms, 259 pounds, you know, his hand size, all that. They'll give you a grade on the player, production score, all that kind of interesting stuff to give you a glimpse of what we're talking about here. This 40 time was 4.6, all that kind of stuff. And you kind of go down his timeline. Played in 12 games of reserve, 2019, 2020, 2021. Doctors wouldn't clear him due to neck injury. And then it's not like a slow ramp up back. It's he goes from that to UCLA and is instantly dominant. First team all Pac-12 of 2022, led the team in tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks, which was eighth in college football, 3 forced fumbles, played in all 13 games. Okay. Then you go to 2023. He wins the Lombardi Award for the top college offensive lineman or defensive lineman. First team Associated Press All-American. So, you know, he goes from being, they wouldn't clear him, they wouldn't put him on the field, to being one of the best players in college football. Pac-12 Conference Defensive Player of the Year. First team all Pac-12. I mean, the guy was dominant. Chuck Bednarik Defensive Player of the Year Award. Maybe that's a sign he should be here in Philadelphia. Okay. He won the Lott Impact Award for integrity and maturity. I mean, the kid seems like he checks every single box. He led FBS with 21.5 tackles for loss. So we are now dealing with a player that comes into the NFL with some question marks because of a past injury. But what strikes me is this injury wasn't last year. This injury was years ago. He's played now multiple seasons at a high level. You know, when I first, you know, kind of he came on my radar, I was like, you know, the idea of using a high pick, a first round pick on a player that's had missed seasons scared me. It worried me. Like, well, you're going to take that kind of injury risk with that kind of asset. But it's not like this injury was last year and you're wondering, will he be cleared? No, he's played two seasons now of dominant football since the injury. And, you know, I think this probably goes for any walk of life, not just football. Sometimes one doctor thinks one thing, another doctor thinks another thing. So the University of Washington obviously had a lot of reservations about putting him on the field because they didn't want this kid to ruin his life with a further neck injury. The doctors at UCLA, the trainers there, thought it'd be okay. He has come through quite fine. He has not just played, but played at a very high level. Based on his production, I think we're talking about a guy that should be a top five pick and might be a top five pick in another year if there weren't this many quarterbacks and if he didn't have the injury thing. Like, if you just take this profile of player, his size, his production, what he did, and you just remove those 2 years where he wasn't allowed on the field, this is a top five pick. This is what they look like. This is the production. This is the dominance of a top five pick. And I look now at him into the NFL. I'm seeing mocks for, yeah, some he has as high as 8 to the Falcons, but some in the teens, some at around 19 or 20 or 21. And obviously this one to the Eagles at 22. Last thing to hit me, and then we'll bring Tucker on and talk about the idea of this player and obviously what the position need is for the Eagles. But on that NFL.com page, they have comps, right? Not every player is a comp. Usually first-round picks have comps where they take the player and they say, well, who's he like in the NFL? Like right now, playing in the NFL, who does he kind of remind, you know, the writer of? The comp here, and I would say generally, the comps on NFL.com are more reserved. They don't, you know, they'll try to find something that isn't pie in the sky. Like, I haven't looked at all the quarterbacks yet, but, you know, rarely do you get like a lot of Peyton Manning comps or Tom Brady comps. You don't get that many. Caleb Williams, I've seen comp to Aaron Rodgers, and I think it's probably fair because of how talented he is, but those are rare. The comp here for Laiatu Latu is TJ Watt in terms of his pass rush ability. And when you go to his weaknesses, the only thing is really that he had injuries in the past. So we're talking about a player that dominated college football, dominated the Pac-12, which actually was a really good conference last year. It wasn't the old Pac-12 of a few years ago where I was like, they don't play any defense. So they had a lot of good teams and players and Washington playing the title game. So he dominated a big-time conference. He was really productive, played for a coach that obviously we know here in Philadelphia and coached in the NFL. And his comp is TJ Watt. If this kid falls to 22, considering the hole the Eagles have now with the loss of Hassan Reddick, I'm willing to take this risk. I would take this guy because this kind of production, Tucker, does not just fall to the 22nd pick. Players that have the profile of Leiatu Latu, they go in the top 10 of the NFL draft. This guy might be amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. If you scroll down that page, and you know, there's always a little blurb on NFL.com of what maybe a rival executive says about him. I think in it, it says Colby Turner's going to go higher, but this guy's the most skilled edge rusher in the draft, which is an incredible thing to see. And for him to fall to 22 would certainly be, you know, something favorable for the Eagles. But I think it's interesting. And maybe, you know, if they were to make this move, it would tell us a lot about what Howie Roseman thinks if he's still on the board. Because I look at this, you know, a pick like this, it's almost a luxury pick for the Eagles, right? Or for anyone in this situation where you wouldn't have a guy that you're necessarily counting on to make a difference week one in his rookie season. You're not counting on this guy to really be a franchise changer. If that happens, then that's great. But if Howie Roseman's confident in, you know, the team that he's built so far through the offseason, and he thinks that this team, as is without a first-round pick, is capable of, you know, competing, then this is the kind of move that you make, right, where you go out and you take a chance on a guy with, you know, a medical history who just might not be able to, you know, perform or might not even be able to suit up. So I think this would be a really, really interesting thing. And if they were to make this move, it would tell me that Howie Roseman is really confident in the team that he's built so far for this season.
Yeah, that's interesting because, look, it could not work. Or you could get nothing out of him, and then you have to rely on what you have. But I look at it as a potential home run. I mean, what the production was with Reddick, I'm struggling to replace that in my mind. Now, Bryce Huff's going to do a lot, but I wanted Reddick and Huff on the field at the same time. I don't know what Nolan Smith, Brandon Graham's a year from not being here, and Josh Sweat is a year likely from not being here. And Josh Sweat career arc might give us a glimpse into Howie and the Eagles thinking on this player. Now, I know Josh Sweat was a mid-round pick. We're talking about a first-round pick here and a lot of people want an impact player right away. But, I mean, Josh Sweat's career in college and his injury and the questions coming into the NFL about him, it's not that different than Leiatu Latu. I mean, I think Latu was a more productive college player, but Josh Sweat was a guy who was a big guy coming out of high school, right? A big recruit coming out of high school, highly thought of that he could be a star in college football, had injury, and it kind of set him back a little bit. People wondered, would he get injured again? And that's probably why he wasn't, you know, a second, you know, round pick in the NFL. Because look at Josh Sweat's size and the player he's been in the NFL. Like, those guys used to go in the first or second round. He didn't. So, but the Eagles took him. And they got, you know, eventually they moved him from, you know, project or a guy we're working back at the pace his body responds to starter and one of the better players on a Super Bowl team. So we do this thing where we're like, we look at impact right away. I don't know if Howie Roseman and the Eagles do that. And I think they shouldn't. I said the other day on one of our episodes, they shouldn't draft for need. I mean, if you're doing that, you run into trouble. Now, Leiatu Latu kind of fills a need because they need another pass rusher in here. And it's a long-term thing. Here's the way I view him. If he's there on the board of 22, it's a lottery ticket that I can't not hold on to. I can't not take and hope it cashes. Because this is the profile player that becomes, you know, $100 million player in the NFL that has, an 18 sack season down the line. This is what they look like coming out of the NFL draft. He has the size. He has the production. He's done it at a high level at a big program against other big time offenses. I mean, when you have to go play Washington and USC with Caleb Williams, I mean, he faced last year two guys that will probably go in the top round of the draft. The first pick in this draft, Penix going 13. He's facing those guys. He's rushing them. So he's not facing, you know, Big Ten quarterbacks, which maybe like one or two of, you know, once in a while could play, like C.J. Stroud. He's facing real offenses that throw it all over the place, and he's getting a lot of production. I think he's fascinating. If I could throw out one red flag, though, and this has nothing to do with the injury situation, he did mention at one point that he wanted to be a firefighter. And the last time the Eagles took a player around this part of the draft that had some aspirations of being a firefighter, his name was Danny Watkins. Nothing against firefighters. They're awesome. Just the idea that there's a weird omen there with the Eagles in this spot in the draft. I mean, that's not going to push me away from him, but is in the back of my mind? Yeah, of course. Anytime there's a failure draft pick, a high pick, you wonder like anything about that that could rear its ugly head again. But I like this kid, and I would take him if he's on the board at 22. I know we've kind of moved away from the pass rush conversation. It's been more about corner, and we talked about Brock Bowers in a mock draft mania. Some people think wide receiver. defensive back, you know, maybe a Cooper DeJean, who I like a lot. But, you know, the Eagles go back the last 30 years. I would say 75% of these draft picks they make in the first round, O-line, D-line. O-line, D-line. If the board breaks a certain way where the top seven or so offensive linemen go, and maybe the Eagles don't love Cooper DeJean as much as I do. Maybe they think there's a gap between Mitchell and Arnold and then DeJean and whatever's after him, and they're in that kind of in-between. It might shock some people. It's not going to shock me if they draft, I don't know, a defensive tackle for the third straight year, or they get an edge rusher, because when in doubt, the Eagles go after these kind of guys, and it's led to great trench play for two decades now. I mean, that's how they build it, and I think Laiatu Latu is a fascinating player that really probably is too good to be on the board this late in the draft. If he's there, I'm taking it. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Less than a week away from the draft. We'll talk soon.